basically. There will, the Garden Inn has appetizers and martini specials. So if you just can't wait, you can definitely partake right there. Now we're good. Excellent. Martinis woke it up.
Got my attention.
All right, so I'm back in the Ruby interpreter thing. And I've got a table that's users with, you know, different columns. And over here, I'm going to first establish a connection to the database. Dutifully copying from the book here.
What book is that?
It's a book called Agile Web Development with Rails. It's actually pretty good for just general web development, not just Rails. But you know, everything's in Rails. You know, it uses Rails for everything. So what I'm going to do is, you know, Active Record Base is like the base class that all the classes inherit from. And I'm just going to set up a database connection to talk to this database that's sitting here on this machine. Have to do this. I'm using Active Record outside of Rails. Normally Rails kind of takes care of this stuff as part of the configuration. But in this case, I'm just showing Active Record, so I have to do it. All right, that worked. So to create you get like kind of echoed back the result of the call. So here you see like a bunch of garbage. But that's basically the stringified version of that object. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to create a class called user, which Rails uses this convention over configuration. So the class is a singular form of the plural table. So user, users. And you extend the active record base. That's all. It's just an empty class. So it inherits all its functionality from the parent. And so, you know, we've got these columns here, email, added at, updated at. And I can create a user just by saying,
can you copy your class?
User, yeah.
Oh, did I? Shoot, I didn't mean to do that.
What's the user says?
I said singular, didn't I?
Yeah, I typed plural.
You typed plural.
Yeah. All right, so now we got it. And we got an object. It's just in memory now, so it's not in the database yet. So it's empty. But here I can say, like, you know, email equals. And
you're making a spam mod, right?
Yeah. You probably can't even see any of this, can you?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so I created, you know, I set the email on the object, and I'm going to call save. Now, if I go back here, I've got a row in the database. So that's it.
Being from New Zealand, I have to ask, do I have to call my table sheeps? Or is it smart enough to know that the plural of sheep is also sheep?
It's not. They actually cover that in the book.
Yeah, they talk about it, actually.
Yeah.
But because, like, Ruby, Rails gives you all these, it extends. A nice thing about Ruby is you can kind of enhance any object that you want, even ones that are part of the core library. So like the string object, they added like a pluralize method on it, and it has all this logic built into it. But I think sheeps is one of those edge cases that it doesn't really handle. But
It's amazing that out of so many of those types of words in the English language, sheep is always the example. I don't know why. Just for people from New Zealand, apparently. So.
Well, what about even around here? There are fields up there.
That's true. I grew up in the southeast in Ross can attest. Sheep is a well-used example down there as well. So. So we have one more set of quick talks to give. It's basically the reporting out on the breakout session. So can I have the hands of the point people from those breakout sessions? So we got the three there. Any one of you three can go first, or I'll pick, either way. But okay, excellent. And so this will just last a few minutes. And then at the end of the breakout reporting, just have some housekeeping items. Want to go over some information on this evening's sponsored activities, and then it will be called a day.
Right. Okay, so this is about the breakout session on building an IM bot. I don't know if anyone here has heard of what Enfield Mendy is doing at Ann Arbor District Library, where he's been working on building a bot using Google Talk. How many people sort of heard about this? Okay, a few people. Most of them were in the group, the breakout group that I was in. Okay. But this guy at Ann Arbor District Library has been building this bot so that you can go into instant messaging if you have a Google Talk account, and you can sign up to talk to this particular bot, this program out there, using your instant messaging, and you can use it to query the catalog and do some other things at Ann Arbor District Library. So you can, instead of talking to a friend, you can talk to the catalog directly and sort of search the catalog using your instant messaging, which has some advantages. I mean, more and more of our patrons these days are sort of in their IM world most of the time, and if they don't have to break out of that world and go into a browser and search the catalog that way, it's just another way of exposing our data to them. So it would be useful if there were more and more of these bots. And what I was thinking is, that's kind of cool, but not many people use Google's Talk yet, so it would be nice if we had a bot like this for other protocols like AIM, AOL Instant Messaging, or MSN, or something like that. And I was thinking, you don't have to just search the catalog. It would be nice if we could search the catalog, if we could search databases, if we could, some of the ideas that were coming up here during the session, if we could, if you could enter search terms by talking to this bot, you type in, you know, what are the library's hours, and the bot understands that and parses it and comes back with, I think you're asking about the library's hours. Library's hours are this, 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 and this. Or another thing that we suggested that the bot might be able to do is to notify you when certain things happen at the library. So if you want to be notified when a book gets returned, if it's a reserve book and a lot of people want it and you want to get it as soon as it comes back, maybe you could be notified immediately when that happens. And you know, if you're logged on to IM and the book comes back, you get a notification from the bot, that kind of thing. So there's a few different functions that this sort of thing would be really useful for. Oh, another thing that was kind of important was if it could sort of refer you to a live librarian who also is available on instant messaging. So you log on to your IM bot, but then you know you have a reference question that the bot can't handle because it's only a bot, right? It can tell you if there is a librarian available online on one of the instant messaging accounts that your library has, and it'll sort of forward you to them. So that's sort of what I wanted to have the breakout session about, and that's what we talked about. I kind of hoped when I proposed this that we would actually write a bot and, you know, have Z3950 capabilities in it that it could query the catalog and that sort of thing, which was obviously a pipe dream. But I think something like this is possible, and it would be really neat if we could actually develop something like it. We were talking about some things that it could do. There are already existing scripts out there for writing your own bot, specifically for AIM, the AOL Instant Messaging. A lot of the other protocols are sort of locked up, but there is an API that's more or less available for writing Perl bots that can communicate with AIM or over AIM. So it would be fairly straightforward for someone who had the capability in Perl to write a bot that could do some of these features that we're talking about, assuming that person also understood Z3950. I personally am not a programmer. I know a little bit of Perl. I don't know anything about Z3950. I'm going to be trying to work on this, but if anyone is interested in it and would like to take ownership of it, that would be really great, and you can contact me so I don't have to spend weeks and months figuring out how to use Z3950, which I would really appreciate. Yeah?
I think it's fantastic. I started Googling a little bit to see if I could find some information, and it seemed, I just found it quickly, that AOL charged in order to have it? Do you know if it's free for like libraries or nonprofits or anything like that?
I hadn't heard that actually. I've seen bots that, as far as I know, no one's paying to use.
So it's free to create a bot and have it on Lister or have it access to the AOL network?
Yeah, as far as I know, you set up your own account and you have...
You look like a human in your registry.
Yeah, except instead of there being a person using the client software at the other end, it's a bot sitting on your server.
This is something about a pricing model we made this for a commercial product.
Yeah, I don't know if it would be really necessary. That might be available. It wouldn't necessarily be necessary to create a bot. It could just be something that lives on one of your library servers.
What's the point of having an IM bot that talks to 3950?
Oh, this is just so that it could talk to the catalog. Most catalogs don't implement something like SRU yet. So if it was possible to query the catalog,
the end user would talk IM to the bot would talk C3950 to the catalog.
Yeah.
So it's just a gateway.
You can also do that with Microsoft Office.
It's a cool idea. If you can point me at a Java bot, I don't get you
C3950
and SRW.
Why don't you put a gateway, that converts that to XML and then you just read the XML?
I don't know enough about the technology to know if that's feasible.
A lot of these pieces seem to exist in Python. There's a MSN in Python bound. I was at the session. I don't know Python, so I guess I'll be
certified.
But I'm just curious. This seems like it would be something that would be really useful.
I'll let you know if I find out if I come to any successes.
Yeah. So if someone thinks that this is interesting, or maybe I'll talk to you, Eric, to clarify what you were saying there. not to actually do any development.
I willfully don't know anything about this.
A lot of people are interested in it because it's easier to IM on a phone than it is to use, catalogs, regular old web interface via cell phone. So
yeah, that's right.
The way people could interact with the catalog via cell phone.
Yeah, that's one of the things that came up during the session is as more and more people get cell phones, they don't necessarily want to go to a computer to look up books. They might be in the stacks with their phone and just want to search from there. But that's sort of what we talked about. So if you're interested, get in touch with me and we'll see if we can develop anything.
Just so you know, if you have a Java server, you can get gateways that plug into it. That'll connect to all the different MSN stuff.
See, I heard rumors of that, but I didn't know if it was true or not.
You have very few servers have it because the gateways, MSN changes their protocol, and so they have to reverse engineer it and make a new gateway. But if you're running your own Java server, you can get the gateways, and then you can pipe everything through your server. And that way, when it comes back from MSN or AIM, everything's converted into the Java protocol, which is a lot easier.
So you can have a patron using any of the protocols, and as long as they're talking, they can talk to your Java server with that.
Yeah, but you'll just have to create a user on each IM thing and tell your Java server to connect to that network with that user name. And so it'll be piped through there. It'll just look like you're out of my cloud.
Okay. Do you know where I can find that?
If you go to the Java sites, if you search for Jammer, Gateway, MSN AIM, you'll probably find them. There are different plugins for different servers.
Yeah, that would be great to use. It would be Java. It would be great. Okay, but that's what we talked about, and it's kind of interesting, so I'll be working on that. Hopefully other people will have better suggestions than me, because I can't pull them up. That's what we talked about. Thanks.
Something here. Someone's got interesting taste in music. I guess I'll stand by the mic. Is the mic on? We had a really nice turnout at the UNAPI session, where we, in the course of an hour and 10 minutes, came to some fairly truly consensus decisions about changes to make for the next revision. Since it's due tomorrow, what I'm probably going to do is mark them all up into a revision to the document, send it to the list hopefully tonight. And I would certainly ask everyone who doesn't get too terribly drunk tonight, to have a look at that sometime between now and, you know, maybe lunchtime tomorrow if you can. I mean, it's a short document, so it won't take you long to skim through as people are adjusting their laptops up here. And the changes are pretty straightforward, and I won't go into them here, but we decided to have an XML response format, which is pretty simplistic, and we defined that structure. And we also decided to use HTTP 300 multiple choice responses, but not the RFC 2295 suggested things, because that just introduces a lot of complexity that we think we don't want to really impose on people. And I think that's pretty much the extent of it. We're also doing the link auto discovery, like we said we would, and we came to a consensus on the span microformat. We're going to do something pretty much just like what we've already talked about on the list. And that's it. So if you're on the GCS PCS list, you'll see a revision coming from me hopefully tonight. Please look for it. Please give it a quick read. Make sure it reflects what you thought it should reflect. And if it doesn't, or it does, or you want to suggest any other changes, definitely speak up on the list. If you're not on the GCS PCS list, just look for it in your favorite search engine, and I'm sure it'll bring you to it. And you know, you can pipe up in there, or certainly come just talk to me if you have questions about it. I'll be here. I think that's it. Thanks.
I think most of you were at the presentation where we were talking about federated search engine interfaces. It looks like the answer to this is that. Right. One of the interesting things that we talked about, a small group was talked about during lunch, was federated searching seems to have problems with lag time, dealing with a lot of stuff that takes a long time. So we were talking about how do we get the vendors to give us their indexes so that we can perform these searches on our own servers, however we want to handle them in our own formats. You know, we were talking about even writing up a manifesto saying, we're going to stop our feet, damn it, we want it, and we're not going to pay until we get it. You know, I'm sure that's not going to hold. But we're also talking about how to display the search results, how we might break up the search results based on subject areas or subject headings, and also being able to control those subject area headings on a controlled vocabulary, as opposed to more of the folksonomies that are being created and evolved by our users itself. So there's kind of a controversy as to whether folksonomies are good because they're evolving by the users themselves, or if we should go with a controlled vocabulary developed by the librarians. Even having like an evolved list that are based on the subject areas. So if we take maybe a folksonomy list that you can kind of merge it together with a list of the subject areas that are coming from the vendor's data. We're talking about, you know, getting the indexes from the vendors themselves. What about convincing Google that they need to open up an API just to Google Scholar? Because they're doing a fantastic job of indexing a lot of the vendors now. But you know, a lot of people were talking about that Google doesn't really care about metadata, and so the metadata that we need may not be there if Google offered the API. So whether that was a good alternative or not, I guess it could be a start, though. Probably can't read my handwriting, but and also, you know, a lot of the things that some of the users really require is being able to do something with the records once we're able to display them. Saving them or exporting them, whether it goes to EndNote or RefWorks or something like that, or whether they're able to email it themselves, or whether we create a little portal area where you can save the record there and they can log back in and go to that. But we want to be able to offer entering into the user's space, not forcing them to go to our website and do it the way we tell them to do it. So being able to export the records into EndNote or whatever their product of choice is. Does anybody have any questions about what we talked about at the moment. We didn't really come to very many close conclusions as to what's necessary. But
part of the speeding up the federated searches,
yeah.
Going over Z3950?
Most of them right now are Z3950. There are some XML gateways out there.
People ever put, like, caching proxies in between?
Yeah, I had thought about that, caching the results, but I think the results are changing so often, you know, you're getting new and new, and I don't know how feasible that idea is. But it's definitely something, you know, that to be investigated.
So with Z3950 in SIU, you can just use the scan operation, which returns the term and how many records you have. There you've got your indexes.
So sure. Yeah, that's kind of what you're saying.
Assuming that the host is implemented.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right.
You could write a script to, you know, go to the vendor through Z3950 and, you know, write your own cache of their entire collection.
We've got a national service which does this, distributed across 75 different remotely hosted institutions. And we've found that it works really well. Now you can search your local copy to find out which databases match. You can use relevance ranking on those records to find out which repositories are most relevant, so you search them first. It gets rid of the lag almost completely. We've had no bad reports. It have gone from a completely centralized model to a completely distributed model.
So is this cache like updated on a daily basis or something like that? Or do you think it's published?
The repositories are only quite small.
Okay.
So it's only every week.
Yeah.
But even so, yeah. Most of the time it doesn't matter. If you don't have the particular term in your index, if they don't have any records which match that term, you won't find it. But if they've got one, if they add a new one, you'll already be going there.
Yeah.
Because you've got that one hit.
Right.
So for the majority, the search terms aren't so unique that you'll get no hits.
Yeah. Well, I guess that is definitely one possible solution to be investigated. If anybody feels the need or wants to give it a shot, please let us all know how it works out. But, I mean, it could get fairly large, too.
Oh, yeah, you need a reasonably good server in there.
Anybody else have any other questions or anything to say in regards to that? All right, thank you.
Okay, and so we're nearly finished with day one of Code for Lib, but we're not finished in a sense because we do have a very fun, exciting social activity at your disposal should you choose to partake in it. This evening, starting at 6:30, there will be a shuttle from the Garden Inn to the downtown area to take you basically in front of a local pizza joint / pub called American Dream Pizza and Crowbar. It's extremely good pizzas, and I highly recommend it if you're, you know, feeling anywhere towards that kind of thing. That's going to be basically the point where a lot of us will be at. However, the downtown area, getting to Ralph's question about different options for eating earlier, there are a number of establishments downtown within walking distance if you just peruse around. A couple that I'll just informally mention by name. And recommend. There's one called Big River, which has a variety of American-type foods, so a little more up in the price range. There's a pub called AJ's, which is quite nice as well in that area. And if you're into desserts, right next to American Dream Pizza, there's an extremely good gelato place right next door. Very dangerous, actually, so in a sense. So the shuttle will run from 6:30 to about 1 a.m., possibly a little bit longer than that, but we asked not to push it. So it is free. It will go to the Garden Inn, and I have a phone number, which I will give to a few folks. But it's basically, if you call the Hilton Garden Inn front desk to call the shuttle, it'll pick you up from where it drops you off, downtown area.
Is this place happen to be closer to the Holiday Inn Express?
No.
Oh, great.
No, it's about 50-50. It's about split difference between the two. It's actually not very far. You could walk, basically, to it if you're not too averse to the chill in the air. You could walk to it from either hotel, in theory. It's probably less than a mile from both. One of the other nice features about American Dream Pizza, for those of you who are interested in continuing on working on the IMBot idea or the federated search thing or just your own little hacking job, and if you really feel like you need to bring your computer, they do have free wireless. So I don't know in this crowd if that means anything, but I just thought I'd throw it out there. I can get the address. I don't have it right here. It's on 2nd Street and I want to say Jefferson.
200 block, like 236.
Does anyone from the few Corvallis folks here, does anyone know what the cross street is there? No. It's 2nd Street. You'll find it if you go downtown. If you go on 2nd Street, 2nd Street's basically one way. Just go down 2nd, and if you run out of buildings, you passed it, but it's pretty visible.
If you trust Google Maps, it's 2nd and Jefferson.
2nd and Jefferson, that's what. So there you go.
Is American Dream Pizza really ready for 150 folks alive, guys?
Yeah, they're not 150 of us, so they are not ready for 150, but they are ready for up to the whole. Yeah, we've called ahead and let them know that they might have some extra folks. They do have a fine selection of beers if you like that. They order them from light to dark on the taps just for easy ordering pleasure. Especially, and that gets important after 3 or 4. So,
what is the body count?
The body count, well, I mean, we've got 80, approximately 80 folks here, give or take. They should be able to handle that easily. They have a... No, we do not know that. And that can be figured out at there. That's a negotiation process at the location. So, but I just want to reiterate that if you need the shuttle from downtown, get the number of the hotel front desk. I have it here. I'll just read it really quickly. For you, area code is 541, for those of you with cell phones, 752-5000.
One word, like,
yeah, okay, you want to put it in?
We still have a lot of space in front, right?
Yeah.
So, we thought maybe a lot of you just hadn't really seen or been to Lightning Talks before. Fortunately, we kind of filled up today and had a full slate of it. I think there's quite a bit of room tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
or at least 5 to 8 more people to do it. Now that you've seen how low stress it really is, we encourage you to consider it.
Easy for you to say.
You were humiliated.
I made the red bar green. So, if you want a red bar green, and all of us scream with applause, there's plenty of room for you, so please consider it. Thanks.
Okay, so I believe, I'm just trying to think if there's any last details. I don't think there are. If you have any questions concerning the shuttle or how to get to American Dream Pizza or any other questions, I'll be here for a few minutes about other restaurant options downtown. Downtown area in Corvallis is very nice, very walkable, very safe. I highly recommend it. And we'll see y'all. No, you shouldn't need those. It's a pretty good, Corvallis is a pretty trusting town. Other people, yeah. The secret handshake is a must, but we won't talk about that.
How often does the shuttle run?
The shuttle's going to run pretty regularly at first. It starts at 6:30. It'll basically take people downtown, drop them off, come back to the hotel, seeing as most people will be going that way. After that, it's going to be on a call basis for the most part. It'll probably move between, but if you want the shuttle, just call them up, and it's basically just call it. And it may, there's no schedule like every 15 minutes. It's just going to be on call.